I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council meeting for Monday, January 11th, 2016. And it's been our longstanding tradition for many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Watch your score.
First item on our agenda, as is usual, is the approval of the executive session minutes of November 23rd.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilmember Goyas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. And there were two reasons under the state open meetings law for the executive session. On the 23rd of November. One was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto. And second was to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. Okay. Next is approval of the regular session minutes of November 23rd.
Motion to approve on those also.
Okay. We have another motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes of November 23rd. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes unanimously. All right, next, these folks have been very patient, but we now will have a presentation of the 2015 fiscal year audit by PKS and Company, who have been our auditors for a number of years. And even though we all know you, if you'll just introduce yourselves for the record.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Mike Klager. I'm a partner with PKS and Company. And with me tonight is Leslie Michalik. She's the manager who's been in charge of the audit for a lot of years now.
We'll leave it at that.
Yes. We have previously delivered and reviewed a draft of the financial statements and reports with the town administrator and the finance director. And hopefully each of you guys have received a copy of your bound reports prior to tonight's meeting. We'll be glad to address any questions you might have. Our purpose tonight is to present the audit results, mention some of the key highlights as well. And I'd like to begin with the audit report itself, which is on pages 1 and 2 of the bound financial statements. And I'd like to turn your attention to page 2, actually, which is the opinion paragraph. This is kind of the most important paragraph in the report. And basically, I'm happy to report that our opinion on the Town of Berlin's financial statements for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2015 is unmodified. This means that the financial statements present fairly the financial position of the town in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. This is also what's known as a clean opinion and is the highest level of assurance that we can give. I also want to point out the next paragraph on that page. It mentions the change in accounting principle. As a result of an accounting change in 2015, municipalities and local governments are now required to report and actually record in their financial statements a liability for the Maryland State Retirement and Pension System. And this impacts the financial statements in several areas, and I'll first point out on page 11 of the report. Under the liabilities section, you'll see down near the bottom a line item called net pension liability that had not been reported in the past. And it's a balance of $2,290,000 as of June 30th, 2015. The liability for pensions has always been a liability of the town, but never had to be recorded directly in the financial statements. It was always just a disclosure in the footnotes. now we're actually required to record that liability in the statement themselves. I also want to mention that the change only relates to financial reporting and does not impact how you calculate your pension funding. It's just basically showing this share of the liability. But it's a significant change, so we want to point that out to you. In addition to the audit report, we have a report on the, in accordance with government auditing standards, on the town's internal controls and compliance matters, and that's the final two pages in your audit report, pages 54 and 55. Once again, I'm happy to report that we did not identify any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses or compliance matters this year. So it's basically, once again, a clean report in that regard. So those are the two major reports that we have in there, and then I'll turn it over to Leslie to cover some of the financial numbers and highlights with you.
Good evening. So I'm going to start with the general fund. For the year ended June 30th, 2015, the general fund had total revenues of $5,357,000, total expenditures of $5,159,000. They contributed $260,000 to the stormwater fund, which resulted in a decrease in the general fund balance for the year of $62,547,000. The general fund ended the year with a fund balance of $7,517,000. Now, of this amount, about $1.2 million is either restricted or committed or designated for specific purposes, which left you with a $6,322,000 unassigned fund balance. This is their fund balance that's available for carry forward and use in subsequent years and represents approximately 15 months' worth of average monthly operating expenses.
Just a quick question. Is the right-hand column supposed to say 214 to 2014 at the top?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
just wanted to make sure I was reading it right. No problem.
Yes.
Basically, despite the different balances, the financial position is pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's slightly.
Yes.
Yeah, after all, everything's said and done.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like it's about 5% less than 20%.
Thank you.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at the next slide, this shows your fund balance over the past 6 years. So you can see you're pretty consistent. Your fund balance has remained pretty consistent, right around $7 million over the six-year period. General fund revenues for the year, as I said, were $5,357,000. The largest source of revenue in the general fund is property taxes, which makes up 55% of your total general fund revenues. Other significant sources of revenues are intergovernmental or grant revenues, which comprise 18% of your total revenues, and then service charges from the enterprise or utility funds, which make up 11% of your total revenues for the year. If we compare your revenues this year and last year, revenues increased slightly, $163,000 or 3% from the prior year. General fund expenditures for the year were $5,159,000. The largest area of expenditures is the Public Safety Department, which is the Police Department and the Fire Department, which made up 36% of your total expenditures for the year. General government or administration made up 25%. And the Public Works Department made up 16% of your total general fund expenditures for the year. Again, if we compare this year and last year, your expenses increased by $757,000 or 17%. Significant areas in expenses where there were increases was the Public Safety Department, which increased due to an increase in the allocation to the Fire Department. And an increase in police department wages and health insurance expenses. Also, capital outlay expenses increased this year over last year due to purchases for some new vehicles, a new trash truck, carpeting, and some work out at Stephen Decatur Park. The next slide shows expenditures by type. The largest type of expenditures is salaries and benefits, which combined make up 58% of the general fund's total expenses. Moving on to the enterprise or the utility funds, the electric fund had an increase in its net position of $502,000, which was down slightly from the prior year, which we had $569,000. The water fund had an increase in net position before connection fees of $688. Then special connection fees for the year of $336,000 were collected, which is a rather large increase from the prior year due to some of the development in town. So that resulted in an increase, net increase, in the water fund of $336,000. The sewer fund actually had an operating loss before the special connection fees of $1,022,000. Included in that loss, though, is depreciation of expense of $1.1 million, which is a non-cash expense that represents the decreasing value of the assets in there. Special connection fees collected in the sewer fund were $895,000, which, again, was a rather large increase from the prior fiscal year. So it resulted in a net decrease in the sewer fund for the year of $126,945. And then finally is the stormwater fund. Stormwater fund had an operating loss of $75,000. The general fund contributed $260,000 to the stormwater fund, which resulted in an increase in the net position of $185,000. At the end of the year, all the enterprise funds combined had a total net position of $20,072,000. Of this amount, $19,195,000 is your investment in property, plants, equipment, which you had some money restricted for capital projects, which are the special connection fees that had not been spent yet of $322,000, which leaves you with an unrestricted net position in the enterprise funds of $555,000. That's a lot of numbers to throw out at
you. Is it a fair summary to say that basically the investments we made at the height of the Great Recession, particularly first in the wastewater treatment plant and spray irrigation, and then later in the stormwater, are now all the projections that we made then were that, yes, the end of the world was not here and growth would resume in a reasonable period of time, and that's where these special connection fees are coming, which would not be possible if we had not made those investments because we were under a court order to not have any more growth. So it looks like, is it a fair summary to say that the income from special connection fees and the other development related costs, the EDUs and so forth, is sufficiently or more than sufficiently covering the balances they need to cover? I mean, you know, that's we're talking what back here. Excuse me.
I think your question is really for the water and sewer in particular.
Yeah, water and sewer in particular, because that's where we made the biggest investment.
The $1 million deficit that we. Basically,
yeah. So special connection fees there were just shy of $900,000.
Well, yeah, I think the intent of those fees was to cover your debt service costs.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. Yeah,
because that you incurred in doing all the upgrades.
We didn't do all the when we set this fee, it was based on I think 18 or 20 single family homes a year, and that didn't happen. So that kind of made it keep.
I think it caught up.
But now it's caught up. I'm just saying that's what made that number balloon like that.
Not quite down. It's catching
up. Yep.
It's less bad.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. The 6.3 unrestricted and 6.3 million unrestricted in the general fund, you said that represents 18 months of operating? How does that compare to other towns? And is 18 months a good number, or is it what?
It's a pretty good number, yeah. Our recommendation is usually that you have no less than 60 days of average operating expenses. So you're well above that recommendation.
Oh, that's a minimum from the Government Finance Officers Association. I wouldn't use that as a guideline.
Somebody's driving. But there again, we've consistently been.
Oh, you've been above that.
Usually in that 18
month. One of the questions as far as comparison to other towns, we do a number of other towns in the area, and your balance is probably one of the highest. But again, I think it's a good balance to maintain. You've been pretty consistent with that.
Okay. Any other questions for either Leslie or Mike?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Excuse me. Next is resolution 2016.
Excuse me, Mayor, we were looking for a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. The approval of the audit.
Yeah.
Yes. Does anyone wish to make a motion to approve the audit?
I make a motion that we approve the 2015 financial audit from PKS and Company.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the fiscal 2015 financial audit as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you. Next is resolution 2016-01, which is the issuance of a general obligation bond for acquiring the former Tyson property, now informally, at least at this time, called Berlin Falls.
Who's good? Mayor, I just want to call your attention. The motion for 2016-01 looks like it was the acceptance of Pig, Crawl, and Stern on here.
We're numbering the motions that the mayor and council are making, and we're numbering the resolutions as well. So what you have is motion 2016-01 of the mayor and council,
okay.
And then you have resolution 2016-01,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is
two different things.
I know it's a little confusing, but we thought numbering the motions would be helpful
make
in
sure
terms of tracking
there.
Going forward.
Got it. Hopefully one will outpace the other quicker.
It's two different categories of action.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Good question. Thank you. Yeah, difference between motions and resolutions and ordinances and all that. That's what David's here for. Okay. Who's going to take the lead on this? Is this you, Laura?
I can. So, before the mayor and council, and for the benefit of the public, we've got copies of a resolution approving the Bank of Ocean City as the bank that the town would be working with to issue bonds to purchase the Tyson property, which we're now calling Berlin Falls Park. The town issued an RFP. We've been working with our bond counsel, Lindsay Rader. We issued an RFP to several banks in the area. Received four proposals and negotiated the terms with those proposals with several banks. We have a summary table that we presented to the council. We received proposals from Hebron Savings Bank, PNC Bank, Bank of Ocean City, and Shore Bank. The Bank of Ocean City gave us the best terms, giving us an interest rate that we found attractive for 30 years and allowing us to prepay without any prepayment penalty.
Would you mind sharing that?
I can share the specifics if you'd like.
Yeah, please.
Sure.
Please. I think everyone likes this.
So it's a 30-year term maturity on December 1, 2045. The bank may agree to allow maturity to be on the 1st or the 15th calendar day of the month in which closing occurs. The interest rate is 3.5% until December 1, 2030. As of December 1, 2030, and each June 1st and December 1st thereafter until maturity, the interest rate payable on the bond will be adjusted to the then current Wall Street Journal prime rate plus 1%. If the bank allows a shift in maturity date as described above, these dates will shift accordingly. An interest payment dates each June 1st and December 1st, beginning June 1, 2016. Unless the bank agrees to shift in maturity date as described above, in which case interest payment dates will shift accordingly. Principal payment dates, each December 1st, beginning December 1, 2016, unless the bank agrees to shift the maturity date as described above, in which case principal payment dates will shift accordingly. Amortization, annual principal payments of $100,000 each. Interest accrual on a 365-day basis. Prepayment, in whole or in part at any time, at prepayment price of the principal amount prepaid plus accrued interest in the principal prepaid to the date of prepayment without premium or penalty. Essentially what that means is we can prepay without any penalty. Number of days notice of prepayment not specified. RFP provided at least 10 days notice will be given unless the bank holder agrees fewer days notice. Acceptance and closing settlement to occur. This says by June 1st, 2016. We actually expect to be settling by the end of this month, January 2016. That concludes the specifics of their proposal. Those are outlined again in a resolution before the mayor and council and available to the public. I would also like to add, if I could, for the record, today I reviewed the annual financial disclosure statements filed by the mayor and council as required by state law. Based on that review, I can state that none of the council members, the mayor, nor any member of their immediate families hold any financial interest in any of the four banks under consideration for the bond issuance.
Thank you. Right. Does anybody have any questions for Laura? We've been over, had the proposal started coming in, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago? And
yeah, I'd like to go ahead and make the motion for resolution 2016-01 for the general obligation bond for acquiring the former Tyson plant. And I'm really happy that we're able to do this bond with a local bank. I think that's really important to this project, too. And I want to thank all the local banks that put in their proposals.
Yeah, I have to say, we were very pleased to get four very competitive proposals. Okay, so you made the motion. Okay. All in favor of the motion to accept the Bank of Ocean City's general obligation bond requirements and for $3 million. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, let the motion. And let the record show that the motion passed 4-0 with Council Member Purnell recusing himself.
I'll go get
Yeah. Right. Item 4 on the agenda is a motion of the Mayor and Council for the adopting the Maryland Smart Energy Community Energy Efficiency and Renewal Energy Plan. I don't know if they can make these titles any longer. Mary Boland's going to explain what this is all about.
Several months ago, you passed two, I'm going to lose track of what they're exactly called, two policies, one regarding energy efficiency and one regarding renewable energy usage. This is part of our compliance with being a Maryland Smart Energy Community. And what step, we are at the next step, which is to create an actual plan for how we will achieve the measures that we put out in those policies. So what the plan does is outline where we stand as far as electricity usage goes with our baseline. And that number was derived as of the end of FY15. What we have been doing to reduce our electric usage and what we plan to do to reduce our electric usage. It is, as the Smart Energy Office says, a living document. There are things that we have included in the plan that may not come to fruition. There are other things that we may do that we will incorporate into the plan as we go along. But at this point, we need to adopt the plan saying that we understand the conditions under which we operate as a Maryland Smart Energy Community and agree to move forward toward those goals.
And quite frankly, we're pleased to have this opportunity. It dovetails absolutely naturally with what we're doing as a Maryland sustainable community in our recertification. Exactly. Plus, it also makes sense as a electric utility. So it just,
yes.
You know, it's, and we're not at the beginning of the beginning. This process, steps started being taken years ago.
Right.
So this is just would it be correct to say that this not formalized is not the word I want to use, but anyway, that it basically puts in writing what our plans are, and it'll be updated each year as we either discover or initiate new ways to save energy.
Yes.
And it will come up each year, and we'll review it each year. Is that you know?
In all likelihood, there are a number of things that we need to start moving fairly quickly on, but I don't anticipate bringing it back any more often than once a year.
I think
that would be more.
Yes, we would be talking about the specifics of, let's say, a solar energy thing or whatever.
Right. There may be other components, but not the plan itself.
Okay, great.
If I could add something, we need to have the plan in place in order to get access to the grant money that's available to us through the program.
Well, like the new, in the visitor center, the new HVAC system, would that be part of this?
No, not in this case. They're actually really focused on electricity reduction. So what we're looking for in the visitor center is redoing the lighting.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't the new HVAC reduce electric in summertime now? No?
Possibly, but the net over the course of the year is it's actually probably going to increase electric usage because they went from an oil-based system to an electric-based system. But it is still more energy
efficient than the old oil.
We did talk to them about it extensively, and they weren't going there. So.
Yeah.
Anybody have any other questions or comments regarding the proposed energy reduction policy?
If nobody has any questions, I'd like to move to approve the energy reduction and renewable energy assessment plan.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the energy reduction and renewable energy policy and plan. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all. I know that it doesn't. We make it streamlined up here, but we realize the work that goes behind it. We thank you. Thank you. Next is item five on our agenda is Mayor and Council's consideration of 2016-03, a motion to authorize our engineering consulting firm Davis Bowen Purdell Engineering. For a proposal for the tennis court replacement at Stephen Decatur Park. So Mary, you're going to take the lead on this?
What Davis Bowen Purdell has proposed for the amount of $27,740 is essentially all of the services up to the actual construction of the tennis courts. This would be the design work, the preparation of the bidding documents, the bidding process, and overseeing the actual construction once it begins. Because we are looking at doing something a little innovative, hopefully using impervious surfacing, and we're kind of going into a new area for the town to do that on such a large scale, we felt that it would be prudent to have the engineer do all of the necessary specifications that would go into that. That it was a little beyond the scope of town services.
Now, I think we set the precedent. I'm going to say 2 to 3 years ago with the beginning in selected spots for impervious sidewalks. So this is also part of stormwater management.
Exactly.
And part of our environmental stewardship.
And because of the size of the project, stormwater management actually does kick in. So
okay.
Good. As well.
It's wet over there.
Anyone have any questions for Mary regarding this motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this resurfacing of the tennis courts.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the motion for the engineering proposal by Davis Bowen Friedel for the preparing the engineering specifications for the new tennis courts at Stephen Decatur Park, and it's a replacement, not new courts, but a replacement.
Yes. Replacement.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Next is Ivy Wells, who's going to talk, propose a, as it's been the policy for about, I'm going to say 5 years roughly. Each year, there are certain of the 24 events that we have a limited number, what, six. That where we have been granting alcohol exemptions, but we do that as a group so that everybody can ask questions at the same time or whatever. And then we also then can let the liquor license board and everybody else know what to expect. So last minute. But, okay, go ahead.
So I'm here to ask permission to waive the alcohol policy for the following events for the 2016 schedule. First is May Day Play Day, Friday, May 13, 2016, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we're also using that day to celebrate our second anniversary for Cool Berlin. Berlin Jazz and Blues, Saturday, June 4th, 12 noon to 9 p.m. The Fiddler's Convention, Friday, September 23rd, 2016, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And Saturday, September 24th, from noon to 5. And then also, we're our Heritage Fair this year, we're combining that with the Peach Festival. So the Peach Festival will be at the Calvin B. Taylor Museum grounds. And then the Heritage Festival will be on Main Street. And what we're thinking about doing this year is incorporating some local wineries to be able to serve some wine for that and possibly do a winemaking station that day.
So if I understand you, the Heritage Fair and the Peach Festival will both be that same Saturday in August.
Correct.
August 6th. So they'll complement each other.
They absolutely complement each other.
And from this is from a previous conversation. I just want to bring everybody, make sure everybody's up to date, is that whenever it's feasible and makes sense, we are trying to combine events at the same time so that we're not disrupting the overall community. The events are tremendous economic drivers of this community, have made Berlin a destination community. But at the same time, it makes more sense, and I give you a good example, was when fall sidewalk sale was combined with the Oktoberfest. Both events benefited. I hope and I expect that will be true of the Heritage Fair and Peach Festival as well.
Correct. And then for Oktoberfest, fall sidewalk sale and hobby horse race will also take place on Saturday, October 15th from noon to 6. And then for the New Year's Eve celebration, the December 31st, 10 to 1.
I'm glad the hobby horse is coming back. That was a big hit this
year.
She's
really excited about coming back.
Yeah, that was...
Could you do me a favor?
Certainly.
Just for the record, you talked about easing the liquor regulations for these events. But it's a specific request. Could you read this paragraph just for the public so everyone will know exactly what's being considered?
You mean on the...
I think he means at the top of the motion.
It says an exemption to ordinance.
Oh, certainly. Okay. A motion of the mayor and council approving an exemption to ordinance 2011-11, Chapter 30-1, to allow the consumption of alcohol in non-glass containers within the closed areas of Main Street, Stevenson Lane to 14 South Main Street, 104 Pitt Street to the intersection of Broad and Commerce Street, Main Street to the intersection of Broad and Gay Street, and 4 Bay Street to the back of the parking lot at the Atlantic Hotel for the events listed below.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for... Basically, is this a mere, other than the additional,
correct,
additional events that are combined, is this a mere of what we did last year?
Yes, it is, also with the exception of the addition of the Heritage Fair.
Right, yeah,
yes.
Because as part of the Peach Fest, yes.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any other questions?
One quick question.
Sure.
Chief, any issues with any of these events this past year?
Again, we have challenges as always. But again, the events are well-staffed, and again, working with our partners, the hotel, and talking to them beforehand, we don't have any major issues whatsoever. Okay. We're talking about 3,000 plus people getting together one time, those things. So it's not alcohol-related specific issues that we have. It's a bunch of people issues that we end up having.
A lot of people in a small place.
The only concern we'll have is just to go ahead and go up and say, Peach Festival's over here, it's not within the area, and to go ahead and advise everybody. in the area of the museum, we can't have alcohol here unless another exception is, and that's something we'll speak through well before we get to that event.
Perfect. Well, with that said, I'll make the motion that we approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. A motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the granting of alcohol exemptions for six special events during the calendar year of 2016. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the record show that the motion passed unanimously.
Thank you, Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Now we've made it to departmental reports. And first will be Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening, everybody. I have a couple of things on my list. First, I would like to give an update on our pilot technology software progress. We're moving forward, and we have a solid schedule in place. We're working on updating and kind of revamping our chart of accounts for General Ledger. We're trying to make it more consistent through funds and more consistent through all departments, and actually make it more easier for everybody, for every single user to understand. Trying to name the accounts in very easy manner so people will not get confused between where to code the expenses, how to allocate them through General Ledger. We're working with very professional and knowledgeable person representing from Tyler Technologies. Her name is Jenna. And
what was the name of the technologies again?
Tyler Technologies.
Thank you.
She have many years experience of creating chart of accounts, so we feel that she's providing us a good support and help to establish a better chart of accounts that we need. Tomorrow we have a phone conference, and I think Councilmember Dimborell will be present. So we will go over our progress, and we should be able to have in place new chart accounts by end of February.
Is this a benefit to the department heads in being able to determine where an expense should be,
absolutely,
be charged within the different departments?
Yes. And also will be very helpful for reporting for finance department, so it will be consistent through the funds. Next important step, Tyler Technologies provide us from online training. It's called Tyler U, and Laura have forwarded email to every single user. Basically, every single user need to create an account, pretty much like a Facebook account, where you can go on Tyler U and educate yourself, post a question, and connect with every single user through Tyler Technologies. Basically, if you have something you would like to share, you can write a comment or ask a question, and somebody from different state might be able to help you before you even reach out to the technical support or whatnot. Also, they provide modules, kind of online interactive training solutions for us, so we can educate us before they're coming in February on site. So they will be here on site with us. So we're moving in a good speed.
Good.
Next thing I have, every year Town of Berlin Mayor and Council ask for citizens of Berlin to provide support to Energy Assistance Fund. We send letters kind of asking for people to donate to Vancouver Ocean City on behalf to help people in need through the holidays. So this year we maxed out on the number. We have collected $3,400 in donations to the Electric Energy Fund. Electric Fund contribute dollar for dollar. So we will be sending $6,800 to the Energy Assistance Fund. Those monies, and just make it clear, we send this money to Shore Up, and then people who apply for energy assistance will have to go through the Shore Up to receive those monies on their accounts. We don't distribute on our own. We don't separate. So basically, they will have to go through the same process of submitting applications and proving that you are in need for the energy assistance for electric fund only.
And this fund is for only Berlin customers, right?
Only for Berlin customers, okay. Correct. In the package, next page to the last, you have a little notice there. Basically what it is, I'm just going to overview it. We've taken into consideration our utility customers' suggestions and kind of requests to discontinue our long-term habitual yellow tag hangers for non-payments. So we're going to go away from this procedure, and starting January 1st, we have ordered yellow envelopes. We will be mailing the final disconnect letter in the envelope, so everybody will receive it in the mail, in the mailbox, at the door, versus it will be blown away with the wind and nowhere.
That won't be gone with the wind, right?
Right. That's all I have. Thank you.
I know it seems like a small thing, but if you don't know, you know, let's face it, people have all kinds of things going on in their life.
Yeah.
They don't know they're overdue. This seems like a much more reliable way for them to be notified so they can correct the situation. Thank you. All right. Next is Water Resources Director. Standing in. Drawing the short straw. No, it's Jamie Latchin is representing the Water Resources Department.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Well, for the cold snap, I mean, we're finding our electrical problems in our lift station, so we've been having some issues with that, but we got most of that resolved. Installing a couple water meters at new homes. Public Works is finishing up installing the snow plows, making sure everything's ready. That is time consuming because Bob usually goes through the trucks and check them, service the trucks, everything all at the same time. And also they've installed the signs at Bustle and got all that taken care of, and just had to come in one night to change out the meter at Food Line because we had to do it when the business was closed down. So other than that, that's all I had. Thank you.
Good. Does anybody have any questions for Jamie regarding Water Resources or Public Works?
Public Works, I know you're aware of this, but a lot of people, we want to stay on top of it. At the end of Flower Street at the new project, we want to make sure that that street is put back in good condition before we sign off on anything, which I know we will anyway.
Yes.
I'm getting a lot of complaints.
The reason the stones are still there, MDE had to approve it, even though there was a 10-foot piece of stone there. But more likely all the sidewalk would be yanked out from, I think, Mr. Brittingham, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. The last house on the left.
Jarman.
Mr. Jarman. And all that would probably be yanked out and all redone in there. So, before we sign off, and, you know, I'm sure we'll make sure they might have to do some road work there, too.
Okay.
Has anybody moved in yet?
Mm-hmm. No, they can't move them in due to the fact that they still had the E&S construction entrance in there. So that's part of the holdup.
So they're just waiting on MDA for their approval so they can clean up the entrance.
They just finally gave them the approval, I guess, between Christmas and New Year. And, you know, construction people don't, they don't
work
between months. I mean, that's like a week off everybody.
Right.
A lot of places had training, so they were all off doing other things.
Is it your expectation then, assuming nothing goes bump in the night that nobody can foresee, that people will begin occupying some of those homes by the end of January? Is that, or is it just don't
it's
know?
Weather related, right?
I think it's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to say at this point.
I mean, are we talking by spring?
Oh, yes. I think the biggest thing is getting the entrance done and
and the paving.
You know, the paving. A lot of the paving's done. I mean, if you go in there, you can ride back almost to the lift station, but from a certain point to the lift station, you know, a pickup won't go.
Okay.
Yeah. But by spring for sure, Jim.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Bowler.
We now have the town forms on the webpage in a Adobe format that to the user is form fillable. They can actually go through and fill the answers out directly on the form.
This is all town forms that people need to fill out.
Yes, there are a couple of forms that are on there. However, they are not available for filling out. They're just there for information purposes. But most of the forms people can now fill out and submit electronically. We're still working on some bugs on this. It's not 100%, but D3 is being very helpful. And every step of it, they tweak it and do what we need them to do. We also now have the honors and awards page up, listing the awards that the town has received over, I want to say it's 4 years, as well as a number of awards awarded to individual employees through various things. We have received the latest code supplement, so the code online is now completely up to date. That's supplement number 3, so that we're keeping that as up to date as possible. A new spring walk has been scheduled. We have been trying to work with the health department to have 2 annual Just Walk events. So we now have one scheduled for May 7th, and I'll be back early spring to talk about that some more. And the Parks Commission meeting last week, we met with the Arts and Entertainment Committee and have set 6 dates for movies, for outdoor movies. I'll be developing a request for proposals for that so that we get one company to give us the whole package as a deal. But I think that that's going to be a lot of fun. The 2-3 events that they did last year were very well received. People really seemed to enjoy it. And so it's definitely something that we want to continue doing.
Excellent. Thank you. Next is Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's been a while since our last meeting. I'd just like to report that all the Christmas lights in the downtown area, they look really nice throughout the holiday season. We actually have removed all the lights off the streetlight poles, and we left the lights on in the trees up till the time change, daylight savings time. Also, at 408 South Main Street, we had to relocate an overhead service for an addition that's being added to a house. Also, on Astique Road and Flower Street, right there at Uncle Willie's, we had to remove a utility pole where the telephone company transferred off of it, but the pole belonged to us, so we had to remove it. We also assisted Public Works with chipping up old Christmas trees. Cannery Village, we are so far out in front of the development right now, they actually told us to go disappear for a while.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we got so far in front of them, they told us to back off. So that actually gave us an opportunity to start catching up on tree trimming, which tomorrow we'll be trimming trees on South Main Street from Tripoli all the way to Buckingham. I have a permit from the State Highway Administration to be on the road. Also, at 227 West Street, we installed a new net meter for a solar system, so that's another solar customer. And that's about it. Oh, the power plant, we had some major testing that was performed at the power plant a week or two ago, and no big issues. It was to satisfy the insurance regulations for insuring the plant. It's about 90% complete. I have another contractor that's coming in on Tuesday the 19th to perform the last testing, which will be on the engines and the generators.
Thank you very much. Next is Police Chief Arnold Donovan.
Good evening, everyone. The department is actually in the process of completing in-service training audit reports for last fiscal year, our actual calendar year, and firearms reporting for the Governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention. We also want to highlight the holiday events. Again, we had a well-attended New Year's Eve event, and we were very pleased with the efforts and the participation in the state police. Actually, they had several of their officers come in and actually have their support us and the sheriff's office, and we could not have done it without their assistance. So again, we say thank you to them for that. During the Christmas event itself, we want to go ahead and do kudos to all of our partners, starting off with the town staff of Berlin for their support. The town actually had opportunity to support 15 local families in assisting them with providing a Christmas for the kids. And we also assisted Worcester Gold. Water Resources Department with Mr. Latcham helped transport all of the gifts that were assembled. Dollar General for over 3 weeks supplied a box at their actual business and loaded up a good part of the truck, plus the town staff. And we walked in there, they said they didn't know, and we came in the last day, they did not know if they were going to meet the needs of the community. When the truck actually, at their left, they said, we've met our needs, Plus, now we can go ahead and assist all those people coming in with last-minute requests.
Oh, great.
So, again, to go ahead and just hear that type of statement makes you really feel really proud, and to know that we're not doing it just as a town staff. We have their head, First Baptist, actually take on 9 families with their tree. We actually have Worcester Youth actually partner in assisting us locating individuals and providing resources and assistance. We also had Homesboro Lynn, who actually provided, we actually did 50 stuffed stockings for the families, and they did 25 girls and boys for Homes for Berlin 1, Homes for Berlin 2, and Bay Terrace. So, again, during this time of season, to go ahead and be able to give back to the community, to be a part of a responsible community, it makes you feel real proud in the end. So, again, we say thank you to all the partners to go ahead and make that actually happen.
Thank you,
Bill. That's great.
That's real community policing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We had hoped that you would have that new elevations for the changes of the police department, and they're actually going to go ahead and show an image, and I'm going to forward it as soon as we get it, and hopefully, again, it'll be tomorrow morning to Laura, and it's going to show what the elevations were and everything was before, and the changes that they have made over the last couple of weeks, and it's going to have an update over the overview, and if you have any questions, please feel free to just go and give us a call, and we'll make sure we relay that to the architects and the people working on that.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I want to say happy New Year to everybody. It was a busy year in 15. You may have seen the weekly report. In 2014, we had 161 total permits. In 2015, we had 271, a 68% increase. And we were talking about special connection fees in 2014 calendar year. We had 4 single-family homes. If we count the 44 at Cannery Village, in 2015 we had 57. So we had 13 single-family homes outside of Cannery Village. That kind of activity is continuing. We have our first Historic District Commission meeting the 13th, night after next, at 5:15. It's a little different time, 15 minutes early this time. And they had moved it because they wouldn't have a quorum on the 6th, their normal meeting date. We have 5 cases on that agenda. We had moved the Planning Commission from the 13th to the 20th. That's at the normal time at 6. And we have 3 cases for the Planning Commission. And it looks like February's Board of Zoning Appeals will have 2 cases, and we don't normally meet every month with them. So activity continues. Today I attended all day a training session for ArcGIS for the town, given over at Salisbury University. That was through the Eastern Shore Regional GIS Cooperative. Alan Parkinson from Tim's department and Megan Fowler from Jamie's department attended also. Amazing technology, my head's swimming. it really will help us identify all our infrastructure and help in the planning process as we go forward. We have a lot of updates, and that's kind of an expensive wish list item to have that kind of system or administrators for it, but we are able to be part of the county's system for it. They have a three-person staff, and that's our intention, is, you know, be able to do our own updates, share them with the county, share them with the regional cooperative that's based at Salisbury University. And then we'll have up-to-date information, as up-to-date as we keep it. And that you know.
What is your expectation in terms of time? Are we talking sometime during this calendar year, or is it going to take longer than that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say we could accomplish what we need this calendar year.
Okay.
With their help, definitely.
Great. Excellent.
Because it's mind-boggling when you get into it. And the people giving you the program, to them it's second nature. This man's a PhD. So he's going through it, and you're like, what was that? Yeah. But it was a full day, and I do appreciate it. It was very enlightening, and I think it'll help the town. So.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Question. Thank you.
Yes, go ahead. Question for Dave. I think this is in your department.
Yep.
And I'm not sure it happened yet. Is there a petition turned in for Cannery Village?
For a fence.
Property owners?
For a fence, yeah. Look, the town administrator, Laura, and I met with the developer and his construction staff, and
was it five members that had signed a petition. This was, they when they originally did their site plan, it was a vegetated buffer between the neighboring properties and, you know, a bunch of trees. And that's still their intention. That's what their approved site plan is. And I think the result of that meeting, Laura could correct me if I'm wrong, was that we are going to allow him to go ahead as planned and plant. He's going to plant arborvitae close together enough that it'll grow like a vegetative buffer. They were concerned with people perhaps cutting through their backyards to get out to Flower Street. That was the concern. I think it'll be addressed by the trees, but
I think
we all kind of agreed to a wait-and-see thing, and that could also be readdressed, the fence, at a later time, if need be.
The only problem I see with it, once the developers are gone, it's tough to get them to do anything. And the person that created this petition, when he talked to me about it, it made sense, because wherever there is going to be a school bus stop, a lot of those kids are going to be cutting across people's property. That's what he's concerned about. See, Canterbury Village backs right up to all those properties on Flower Street, mm-hmm. on that side of Canterbury Village. So kids are going to be cutting through property to get to the bus stop. That's the concern that the property owners
have. Wouldn't it be possible for us to work with the Board of Education? There's many, with 44 homes there in time, wouldn't it make sense to just have a bus stop at the very end of the street where the sidewalk comes out?
I was going
to
say, we don't know where that location is. I certainly don't. I can look into it and
find out.
If you won't
look into that.
What their anticipated bus stop's going to be, and then maybe we do have to address it, or maybe we don't, if it's going to be inside.
What I'm asking you to do is to contact the Board of Education. This obviously is not something that can happen, you know, overnight, but certainly I would hope that by, you know, maybe the warmer months of the year, I mean, it's the same bus problem, you know. They've got to adjust to the children.
It'll be three buses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's three bus stops on every bus stop on Flower Street.
Right. And what I'm saying, though, and I'm not upset that we've got kids. I mean, most small towns in this country are dying because the population is dying. So I'm not upset at all that we have a bus stop problem. That means we have children, and
right.
lots of them, and thank the good Lord. So my request to you is to contact the Board of Education and see if they can't do something to work with the town, as they always have, to set up a three bus stop, whatever it takes, at the very end of, what is the name of the lane where Cannery Village is?
Cannery Way.
Cannery Way. Where Cannery Way intersects Flower Street. And in such a way that it obviously has minimal, if no impact, to the existing residents on Flower Street. Because there's two sides to a street. And I think this the what I'll call eastern side could be an ideal location. And if we're all working together, then maybe we end up doing something to create a nice spot there for the kids. And we go from there. Let's turn these potential adverse situations into an advantage. We're a community. We're here together. We are making progress together. We're not a bunch of separate little places. And I do want to say this. I hope that I think that we can encourage, and we need to. The Planning and Zoning Commission approved those plans, not the mayor and council. It's not our job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if they're, that's what they have to meet. They haven't gotten to that point yet. I can appreciate the concerns the folks have. I've been there twice to look at that woods. Even as crazy as kids are, they're going to have to go through a lot of briars.
Yeah.
I just can't see. Now, at the very end, I agree. I understand totally Mr. Jarman's concern, because there are no trees for two homes. But once you get west of those two homes, the thickness of the woods is as long, if not longer, than this council tree.
Right, and that's the area he's talking about. Planting trees is where there are none.
Yes, and that makes perfectly good sense. And let's try it, and let's see. Because here's and this is, I know this is
there's so many things happening in this community that are making us a special place to live and visit. And one is that for many years, not just recent years, we have been building bridges, not walls. Fences are just cheap walls. I do not want to create any walls that are not necessary unless they're for safety. And then you have to be careful because you do not want to have a destructive view when you're talking about motor vehicles. Just want to keep everybody, kind of keep this in perspective. Having new families with children coming to our community, I think is something that we should be very proud of, but we need to make sure that we are also protecting the privacy and the peaceable living of the existing residents. But it is not a negative thing to have a growing community. And one of the things in your report, it doesn't say, these new building permits, these new homes, are in every neighborhood of Berlin. That is the first time that can ever be said, ever. And we're not talking about Section 8 housing. We're not talking about subsidized housing. We're talking about homes. And I just think it needs to be emphasized. There are no unimportant people in Berlin, and there are no unimportant neighborhoods. And I think we've been on that course for some time. I just want to be careful that in this particular situation, we don't lose sight of what got us to where we are. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to say it.
I'll check.
I thought need to be said.
Okay. Well, okay.
I'll make contact with the price tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good.
All right. Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
2 points this evening, Mayor and Council. One, on Thursday the 14th, 8 a.m. in this chamber, we'll be hosting an offensive driving class that will be presented by Legit. We did open that up to outside communities or outside municipalities, so we do have some outside municipalities participating. That will run from 8 to 3. You're all welcome. And then on the 28th of January, again here, from 10 to 11:30, an anti-harassment training. Again, you're invited. Both training sessions, lunch will be provided. You are invited. So hope I see you there.
How many times do you have to take anti-harassment?
I need to go to defensive
I've only taken it 20 times.
So. Defensive drive.
I did that in a firehouse.
So that just would go on the record. I've taken it so many times I can't even remember when it started. There is some advantages to age.
It's recommended to be done once every other year.
Okay. And quite frankly, it's one of those things where if anyone thinks that they're not being treated right, they should speak up and let you know right away.
Absolutely.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, Ivory Wells, the Economic and Community Development Director.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. Just a few things. First off, I wanted to report on New Year's Eve. It has been a while, and from my estimates and from people that I've talked to, it was our largest crowd yet for New Year's Eve that evening. And I want to commend Liz, and I also want to thank, as I see Barb back here, she was one of our sponsors for New Year's Eve, and she helped plan the event as well. So thank you, Barb. And then also I wanted to thank Tim and his crew for their outstanding job they did on the Christmas tree lights, not only putting them up and assisting our volunteers, but also really easy to work with to take the lights down. It's a pleasure to work with Tim and his crew, and on New Year's Eve as well. It's hard to get people to work New Year's Eve, and those guys did a really great job. We timed the ball drop, I think it was 3 minutes and 27 seconds, so we were texting to find out, myself and the DJ and Tim's guys, to make sure that the ball dropped appropriately. It worked out really nicely. Right now we are in the middle or the beginning of Restaurant Week here in Berlin, and the Channel 47 WMTV, they did a news report on the news tonight advertising it, so that was good. And
judging by the parking lot out here, we know at least one restaurant is doing very
well. It's interesting. we're doing Restaurant Week, and it starts today, and half the restaurants are closed. So the restaurants that are open are benefiting immensely right now.
Yeah. You can lead a horse to war, Ivy.
Yeah. So, and I started a social media contest for Restaurant Loop using the hashtag #EatBerlinToWin. And so what happens is people go to the restaurant, they take a picture of their food, they check into the restaurant, and they use that hashtag, and everyone who uses that hashtag gets entered into a basket, and then we'll do one drawing, and they will win gift certificates to each of the restaurants. Plus, Camp Bunting is sponsoring $100 worth of Berlin Main Street Bucks. So
that's great.
Probably over $200. And that's to encourage.
This is the first time we've done Restaurant Week, right?
First time we've done Restaurant Week. But, and the reason I wanted to do the hashtag contest was because last year when I did the Berlin Snow Day, it was such a success that I wanted to do something else this year. And so look for more hashtag contests on social media.
If this is successful, and doesn't create any unforeseen problems, do you expect any additional Restaurant Weeks during the year?
Oh, we're already planning the one in the spring.
Okay.
Yeah, we're already planning. Because of the response, I talked to Robin Tomaselli today from Baked, and she said that even before Restaurant Week, the last several weeks, people have been stopping into her shop just because they've heard about Restaurant Week, and they wanted to come down just to check it out. Great. She's offering a chocolate sampler platter for $4.99. tomorrow, since we're giving out invitations, tomorrow, Worcester County Tourism is offering a social media workshop at the Princess Royale Hotel on 91st Street. Starts at 10 a.m. So I'm going, Sharon's going, and some of my volunteers are going, the chamber's going. So, and everyone's invited if you want to come to the Princess Royale Hotel for a social media workshop. And then lastly, but definitely not least, we did receive the $50,000 community legacy grant from Department of Housing and Community Development, so I can continue to offer the facade grants. So I'm encouraging business and property owners to apply for that grant, up to $10,000 per property owner for businesses in the downtown area.
Great.
Just commercial businesses, it's not for residential. They want to fix up their house. It's not for a
picture. But there's other places they can go to. Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Any questions for Ivy? All right. Next is the town administrator's report.
Well, I just want to thank Ivy. For those of you who don't know, we had a challenging time getting back from Bryson City. We were in a car for 8 or 9 hours. And Ivy doesn't take car trips very well. But she's a real trooper. She got here. She went home. She got some sleep. And then she did that amazing job with New Year's Eve. So I just want to thank her for being such a trooper and making that happen so well. Great job.
Thank you.
I also want to let the council know I made a presentation to the Kiwanis last week and gave them an update on town activities. I talked about the events, our awards, and the major projects we've got going, Berlin Falls, the train, and Hudson Branch. So they seem to appreciate that. I pretty much go. They asked me to come at least twice a year. So I did last week. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any comments for the year except that we had a very busy year last year. I think we can anticipate another one this year. It's very glad and just very nice to have everyone back together again. Mm-hmm. December was a very emotional month for everyone, and I'm just so happy to see us start the new year off together. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, it reasonably did help. And you know, it feels good. And I just want to extend everyone our condolences to both Councilman Gullius and Councilman Pinnell. It's a unique situation, but you guys are not only leaders of your community, but of your family, and you have all of our support. Next, do we have any comments?
Thank you. Yes, I have three things.
Sure.
First I had a complaint from a business owner concerning the condition of public parking downtown. I did an assessment of, a ride around, and I didn't think it was bad at all. But could we have somebody take a look at the condition of the parking lots downtown?
The surface?
Yeah.
Several of the parking lots we don't know.
Yeah.
We have been communicating with the property owners, but I'll be happy to.
Yeah.
Could you include those also?
Sure.
I think that's a great idea. And that's something, too, that goes back to that voluntary cooperation where we don't have the legal authority to tell them to fix them, but hopefully they'll see the benefit to the entire community. That would be very much appreciated. Thank you.
Second thing is I had a complaint from a property owner on Branch Street. Seems that the street in front of his house, and it's in front of John Dale Smack's house, has been repaired, and he's telling me that that repair is failing, and he's getting a lot of noise from bumps and all this kind of stuff. Okay. So could you have someone take a look at that? And third, I just want to congratulate you, Laura, and the department heads, and especially the finance department, on a clean audit. I know that because of your commitment to town policy and procedures, that we have things in place, and we did not have a finding, and the audit was clean, and I think that is a very good thing. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I just have one thing. I just want all the department heads to go back tomorrow. We have 24 events in this town every year. You guys work a 40-hour week. I know there's a lot of times you miss a family party or a child's baseball game or a grandchild's, you know, baseball game because of your commitment to the town and these events. And you know, New Year's Eve, you're here, you're not home with your families, and I just want you to go back and let everyone know that we really appreciate the over and above that you do and the time, you know, and that's to you, Chief, too, with the police that come in. You know, we have a lot of events and a lot of extra work, and it's very well appreciated, and I just wanted all of you to know that it is appreciated.
Okay, thank you.
I agree.
Thank you all for your time.
Do you have anyone in the, attending tonight that would like to address the mayor and council? Do we have any questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much for coming and for your patience.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. See you next year.
Yes, we did.
Meet every other month. We're only going to meet every other month.
We decided we're only going to
meet every other month.
We got a lot done tonight.
Yes. 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 It's been a long time since we
met. I know.
Football game. Don't sit up
now. Okay. Yeah, we don't want
to. You asked me to just come for the executive session.
She come back Sunday.
You remember that night you asked me just come for the executive session? I was going to have a long time. Basketball season.
Every single member of the council had a problem with every date we came. It was, you know, like I say, Murphy's ball, ball free. Thank goodness, nothing got hurt. And thank goodness, everything just fell in place.
You're good.
When you get back,
hindsight for both Troy and for Tom, probably they didn't have to deal with on top of everything else.
That's right.
All right,
and we know what that's all about. Yes. Yes, we're not allowed to leave until you collect it.
First of all, I'm going to ask you, when we get down to this bottom line, put your pens down and use my blue eggs.
Okay.
Okay, for right now, we can use black.
Sign so second place.
You're accepting this from Davis Bonham for now.
This is the 11th.
It is.
How you doing, Dave?
You will sign here.
I'm doing fine.
This is our alcohol exemption.
You have a good holiday?
I did. How was yours?
Fine.
And that'll be filled in.
Yeah. I'll fill all that in before I get my signature.
Great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for being patient.
Of course.
Okay. Alcohol exemption. This is just a letter that goes down to April.
Okay. Oh, good, good.
Okay. All right, let's put down the black pens.
Sorry. I'm in the basketball season now.
Let's put this right here, all right?
Uh-huh, that's fine. Okay.
All right.
My pen is blue.
Stephen Decatur. Oh. That's my grandson.
We're not going to date anything. We're just going to do everything with signatures.
Okay, no dates.
No dates.
They only lost one game, Kokomo, and that's the rivalry. When they come back to Stephen Decatur,
I'll
that's
take care of the town
game.
Seals.
Okay.
They cut about 50 people didn't get to see the game.
So those are all the bond signature pages.
Yes. Oh.
That's what she's
they
got
didn't fill up to compare.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And we're going to do four of each page.
So I don't know what's going to happen when they come up here.
There's four pages.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And the coach of Pokemon, Derek Fuchs, he graduated from Stephen Decatur.
Okay. He's doing the bond documents now.
We all don't have to sign.
I feel like we should have a picture.
No. Okay. This is Natalie. This is Laura. I will get Laura in the morning.
Yeah, just those guys. But I feel like they should be taking a picture. You know, like they do for the president.
Yes.
Did you sign the check? This is the energy following the song.
Oh, yes, yes. Is that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Our job is to facilitate.
No problem.
You guys want that?
I know.
We bought it. It's a little pie in my stomach. See, Vicky's very pretty.
I'm sitting still. I'm sitting still. Make sure.
I'm so pleased.
I appreciate you, Dean.
I just, you know.
I'm sorry, Albert.
And the second page, just initial.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because I know you'll call me in the morning.
And then the
I need
bottom,
you to sign.
The little check.
I'll do that.
The sign on the sign of signature. It's just the check goes from the energy.
Right.
The donations.
Excellent.
That's great.
And congratulations on the audit,
thanks
by the way.
So much.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can appreciate what goes into that. You know? Thank you.
I'm
next.
I believe you must be finished.
I think I'm done with you. I think you can go, sir.
Yeah. Okay, you know where to find me.
I do, but thank you for being patient.
Hey, have a good rest of the week.
At least she can rest assured that's not going to happen again. I told her she can rest assured that's not going to happen again.
I'm just
okay, see you later.
Vicky, you got Elroy for everything you needed?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she got
he sat very patiently.
All right.
Yeah.
Just once?
Oh.
Yeah, there's four of those.
Okay.
All right. This is Laura Allen from Town Seal.
Good. I'm done.
Are you done and done?
I think I'm done.
You're four and done.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Thank you.
See you soon. See you soon.
Great.
You're welcome.
It's just a 1%.
What's that?
It's for 1%. See how
we
go.
Well, I mean, we tested it at 4.5. Perfect. Exactly. In fact, I went out several spots and actually checked the voltage furthest out in the field just to see what it does.
Good. Excellent.
D-level about two more.
Sign of ruins.
This reminds me of the scenes back in MASH.
You got Dave's signature where he did it.
You guys are probably too young to remember this, but MASH, they always had the colonel sit there. Yes. And Radar would sit there and say, just sign it. Just sign it. Don't even ask.
It's an honor to be called Radar. Radar O'Reilly was awesome.
He was. Hey, things worked, didn't it?
They did. Okay, so I'm going to take care of having Laura sign these in the morning after I fill the dates in where applicable, but not on the bond documents.
Excellent.
Okay. And I grabbed Harry to let him know, to let Reed know about the timing of the paperwork and the close. I mean, I had talked to Reed already, but
good.
Just to reinforce that.
Excuse me?
Yes,
thank you.
He'll get it probably within the next.
Thank you.
Very much.
Definitely
you.
By the end of the week, if not the next couple of days.
What else you got here?
That's amazing. Isn't that something? Where, once the log jam broke, it really broke, didn't it?
Well,